So this is Black Monday now, Matthew? Oh, wow, that's interesting. We've actually tracked the guy down. Mike Santoli, step into my office.
Yes.
What happened?
What happened 20 years ago or what happened 5 minutes
You know
ago?
what? Let's focus on 20 years ago. Let's
Yeah.
start there and work our way forward. You, by the way, are an associate editor at Barron's Weekly for those just joining us. Today is the 20th anniversary of Black Monday, which was the percentage-wise biggest crash in stock market history. Where were you 20 years ago on Black Monday? Do you
I
remember?
actually was a senior in high school, so I was dutifully in class. But the radio was going because my English teacher had a wife who was a stockbroker, and he saw his livelihood kind of flashing before his eyes. So I was sort of listening to the play-by-play.
It was weird because I was an even younger kid living in Seattle, and I remember seeing it on the news. I mean, it was a big story. I mean, 9-year-old kids in Seattle knew about it.
That's right, absolutely.
So looking back in plain English, please, what exactly led to the collapse?
Well, the preconditions of the collapse were that the stock market was up enormously in a very short period of time prior to that. It was up about 40% from the beginning of 1987 to early August. It fell pretty sharply, then rebounded. So you had a lot of air underneath the market. You had a lot of kind of speculative activity driving the market higher, lots of big corporate buyouts, lots of news that basically made people think that, you know, the sky was the limit. You also had interest rates at the same time that were rising steadily, and the stock market was just ignoring that. Normally, that puts a brake on the stock market going higher, but Treasury securities, which are now less than 5% for 10-year U.S. Treasuries, were pushing 10%. They went from 7 to 10. So you had financial conditions that were deteriorating the entire year. The weak dollar was another, what should have been a break on this activity. And also lots of trade tensions. Actually, Iran was a geopolitical issue at the time. People forget about this, but there was another confrontation, some naval ships moving in that direction. So you had those preconditions to a decline. But none of that explains down 23% in one day, which is what happened that time. That requires emotional panic, herding behavior among individuals who just want to get out. And essentially, you do have everybody trying to get out of the burning theater at the same time. The mechanical issues then kicked in. And by that, I mean the system, the technology backing the stock exchanges and the financial system just didn't hold up. They could not process all the activity, which created that much more panic. So
So
really, that was the downward spiral.
it was partly psychological, partly financial, partly technological. Well,
Exactly.
let's move forward to right now, where stocks have been on sort of a bull run since 2003. Any chance we're building up another bubble?
You know, if we are, it's in the future. We're not quite
Oh, the
there yet.
future. Who has to worry about that? I mean,
Yeah, well, it's interesting because, you know, a lot of the returns from the stock market over time come when the market just sort of overshoots to the upside. And typically, when people who've missed out on a move rush in, it can create something approaching a bubble. We're not there yet. Stocks are not nearly as expensive as they were in 87 based on the corporate earnings that underlie them. Interest rates are lower. Now, we do have some parallels. As we all know, the dollar has been weakening against every other currency. Back then, we had sort of a trade war of rhetoric with Japan. Today, it's China. We are in the second to last year of a two-term Republican presidency, if that seems to matter. So these things definitely echo to some degree, but the system doesn't seem at this point as vulnerable. We've been able to process greater and greater volumes. We are much less dependent on individuals on the floor of a stock exchange writing tickets to process trades. And in addition to that, we have put in these measures that would actually close the market or slow a decline if we'd started to build on itself.
Well, as I was reading various financial publications today, they were all saying it doesn't look like there'll be a crash, and then they also always said no one ever knows, no one ever sees a crash coming, so that wasn't very encouraging.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, a crash is essentially unpredictable. It wouldn't happen if you could see it building up in over time. It
Yeah.
would never happen that way. It's essentially, it is an emotional panic.
Well, Mike Santoli, associate editor at Barron's Weekly, thank you so much for
My
coming on
pleasure.
the
Thanks.
beep.